Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Suren Gupta to the broadcast. Suren is the Executive Vice President of Technology and Operations for Allstate Insurance Company, the United States' third largest personal lines insurer. Suren is considered an innovative force in enhancing delivery capabilities that support a 24/7 global operation, a topic we cover in some depth in this interview. Among other responsibilities, Suren leads a global organization that delivers innovative and transformational solutions for Allstate's customers, agency owners, and employees. Prior to his tenure at Allstate, Suren served as Group Chief Information Officer for Wells Fargo, a founding member of the corporate executive team of AirClick, a startup wireless internet venture, and he was Senior Vice President, Information Technology and Operations for GMAC Residential, a division of General Motors. Suren's a graduate of the Advanced Management Program at Harvard Business School and received a master's degree in computer engineering from West Virginia University, as well as an MBA from George Mason University. In addition to these accomplishments, he serves on the Chicago Public Library Foundation board, as well as the board of the American chapter for Pratham, a non-governmental organization that provides preschool education to children in India's slums. I recently caught up with Suren in his office just outside of Chicago, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as he spoke about the various ways in which talent is leveraged through forums to encourage innovation. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discuss technological innovation from both the internal and customer-facing perspectives, along with a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and a variety of other topics. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Suren Gupta, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Peter, thank you for time to talk to me. I am very excited to talk to you and your audience about whatever topics you have.
Wonderful. Well, I look forward to the conversation. I think most of our listeners would be familiar with Allstate, but I thought we would begin with your role within that company. You're the Executive Vice President of Technology and Operations at Allstate. Can you talk a bit about what that role entails?
Yeah, if you think about technology and operations, those two are pretty clear terms. So I've got responsibility directly for all of technology across the enterprise as it relates to IT and technology that could help our business in products and services. And I'll talk a little more about that as we go along in the interview. The second is all of back office operations when it comes to things like bill pays and printing marketing materials and, you know, all of those things that take for us to run the company from an operation standpoint is also something that I'm responsible for. A big piece of that operation is also customer service and agency customer service. So we've got 10,000 agents roughly across the nation that we serve through the products and services that we bring to them to sell on our behalf to our customers. So that's a big portion of operations that we have. And the second piece of that customer service side is truly customer service when a customer has a need or something that has not been fulfilled, they call us, and so my part of the organization also takes care of that too. Those are the key three functions. We've got technology, operations, and what we call customer service as part of the responsibility.
Did you have a predecessor to this role, or was it, in other words, did the role exist prior to you taking it, or was it created upon you joining the firm in 2011?
We've had the role for a while, but I think what has happened is we have expanded the role to include few more functions in it, but and the, obviously the company has grown also in the years that I've been here now, almost 3.5 years now. So the role has expanded from that standpoint, surely. Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're in the throes of a business transformation. You have been actually for some time now. And I know from our past conversations that you have a framework you've put in place to think about the areas in which you are transforming and how you are transforming those. Can you take a moment to talk a bit about that transformation and how you've organized it?
Yeah, so we are in the midst of a huge transformation for the company, both from a product standpoint, how we serve our customers, and also how we bring those products and services through our agency, which is our sales distribution channel too. If you think of that as the core business, there's a huge amount of change that we are going through, both in terms of the services that we provide, the innovative products that we are bringing to our customer base. If you look at that and say, you know, how do we divide our work across the enterprise? And so there are three key buckets that we think of ourselves dividing the work into. And the three buckets are made up of all of the work that needs to be done to simplify our environment and to continuously improve the current environment that we are in. So let's think of that as bucket one. The second bucket is around building technology and platforms that would lend themselves to the future of the company. So things like if you look at, we launched a platform called DriveWise, where we provide incentives to our customers based on their driving record. We are the first company to launch DriveWise on a cell phone. That comes under the bucket two, where we are building new platforms and technologies to enable the business to move forward. And then the third bucket is all about creating innovative solutions for our businesses that are, you know, longer term. What do we look at and evaluating technologies and services that would sustain itself for the company in the long term? So those are kind of the three main areas that we look at in terms of how we divide our work. You know, obviously, technology plays a key role in all of those three buckets, because at the end of the day today, there is nothing that the company does that is without technology. So we are, you know, hand in glove with our business partners in terms of making sure that, you know, we move the business forward.
The very broad team that you manage, do they align within these buckets as well? Or are there people like yourself who have responsibilities or a purview across multiple of those buckets? How do you think about the people component of bringing each of these to life?
That's a great question. So the organization structure is focused around the lines of businesses. Each line of business has a CIO aligned with them that are completely responsible from start to finish, delivering all of the things that the businesses need. Then there is a horizontal organization that goes across the enterprise, which have functions that bring consistency across the enterprise. So things like architecture, infrastructure services, quality assurance, release management, problem management, all of those things go across the enterprise. So there's a horizontal organization that goes across. So the CIOs basically are the ones that are business facing. They have the end-to-end responsibility of delivering the goods to the business. The horizontal organizations bring consistency across those lines of businesses. So that's how we are organized.
I was curious, the very interesting idea you talked about, DriveWise, which has been in place for some time and now actually delivered for the first time via cell phone. You listed that as one of the enabling and developing ideas, whereas, you know, as an outsider, it sounds like quite an innovation, quite frankly. So how do you, considering that there must be, it sounds like, very innovative things coming out of the enabling and developing segment of what you described, how do you differentiate that between innovation that happens in the that differentiating aspect of what you described?
You know, innovation, we have something called small I innovation, which is incremental. And then there is a capital I innovation, which is truly, truly differentiating and something that is completely new. So I would describe DriveWise on a mobile phone as a capital I, something that is new in the marketplace. It's innovative. And the way we have launched it also is innovative because of the way we attract customers to come and use that technology. There's a pretty well-defined process of how we go about doing both capital I and small I innovation. So we've got, at any given point in time, we have a funnel of ideas that people come up with. There is a formal group called the Innovation Council that evaluates those ideas. We actually fund, the Innovation Council has the power to fund ideas depending on what they like and they think would fit within the strategic plan of the company. Ideas that have a broader appeal and that need a larger amount of funding go to something called the Innovation Board, which is made up of people at my chair, the people who sit at my peer level group heads. They'll be line of business presidents or people who have big functional roles in the company who sit along with me on that innovation board. And that's how we go about funding these ideas. And at any given point in time, we probably are working on anywhere from 30 to 50 ideas at any given point in time, depending on, you know, where they are in different phases, whether they are in small I or capital I innovation.
How does one submit those ideas, or what are the various forms? You've talked about innovation blitzes. What other forms of, or forums for that matter, exist for people to ensure that their ideas are seeing the light of day?
So there are multiple forums. So the idea, the innovation blitzes are very structured events that we have that people participate from across the enterprise, where we will actually pull out and say, here's the problem that we have or a solution that we are looking for, a technology that is out there or an issue that we are having. And then people will come up with all kinds of ideas on how to resolve them. There is actually a committee that evaluates those ideas, and those ideas are then either formally funded or we go back and say, you know, we need more refinement to be made to those ideas. But that's one of the forums that we have, the innovation blitzes. The other ways in which we do platforms that we have that people can fund, submit ideas is through the regular chain of command. So people are doing things that they think can be done in a different way, in a better way. They will actually pull together a statement of an idea, submit it to the managers that eventually gets formally presented to the Innovation Council, and then Innovation Council will fund it. So that's another forum in which ideas come to the forefront. The last piece which goes to the board really is if there are truly things that would be the capital I innovation that will truly set us apart, go to the innovation board directly. And we would evaluate them and fund them based on the merit of the idea. So in many ways, it's the structure is very similar to how a venture capitalist would work with startup companies.
Absolutely. That's very striking, in fact. You provided one already, but are there other examples you can give of innovative ideas, either that have recently been released or that you're working on?
The ones that I can talk about are, you know, so we have got how we look at our risk parameters and how we price our products and services based on people's driving habits, right? So that's, you know, it's got a lot more detail algorithms that drive that. But that was one of the incremental innovative ideas that we had that we launched in the marketplace. So our pricing is a lot more precise in terms of how we price our products and services. Other ideas are in terms of using some of the state-of-the-art technologies to serve our customers in an automated fashion. You know, we get thousands of calls between on an annual basis between our customers and our agencies. We are using some high-tech advanced technology, AI-based ways in which we would resolve those issues that come up, creating an intelligent knowledge base of issues that have happened in the past and how does the system learn from those issues that have taken place in the past. A number of those things are in the works right now.
Something that's very striking through the conversation, frankly, Suren, is that you've got a variety of constituents that you're thinking about and interacting with as sources of inspiration and innovation. At least I'm hearing you talk about end customers, the actual customers who are using Allstate's products and services, the agent community, of course, since they're another key group who are the touch points with the customers in many cases, and of course, the company itself. And I wonder, how do you parse your way through those various constituencies in order to, you know, develop a systematic way of driving ideas and innovation that serve each of those constituent groups?
Well, I think what is important, Peter, is as you look at people in the organizations that we have, you know, we are very deliberate about, at least for some of the senior positions as we are hiring people, I'm very deliberate about making sure that these people that we bring in are first businessmen or businesswomen rather than just technologists. Mm. So what happens then is once you have that kind of mindset, it's easier for the technologist who's a business person to understand what the business issue is that we're trying to solve. You know, that helps a great deal in terms of how we partner with our businesses in coming up and setting the stage for, you know, out of the box thinking for our products and services and moving the company forward. And that's been, you know, it's not something that you can do overnight. You know, you have to do this over a period of time. And that's the journey that we are on in terms of making sure that everyone's first a businessman who happens to be a technologist is kind of how I think about it.
I'm not so surprised that is the way you think about it, given your own background and the various functions that you've been a part of throughout your career, whether it's operations, sales, marketing, strategic development roles you had at companies like Intelsat, to a EVP and group CIO role you had at Wells Fargo in the consumer lending, as well as the home and consumer finance groups, to now the role that you've had since 2011, which, as you described at the outset of our conversation, has an extraordinary amount of breadth to it. I can only imagine that given the various stops you've had along the way in your career, that you've taken a bit from each of those into each of the next positions that you've taken along the way. And it seems like since you've had so many more traditional customer-facing, revenue-generating roles in the organizations that you've been a part of, including startup organizations that you helped found, that you would be thinking about a broader level of value from a technology role than perhaps the average CIO or tech executive would.
You know, I thank you for that acknowledgement. I would also say I would be remiss if I didn't mention that our chairman and CEO, Tom Wilson, is also a big part of why we have set up the organization the way we have, and the role that technology plays in the overall strategic focus of the company. To give you an example, sit along with the line of business presidents on a strategy and reinvention committee that drives the strategic thought leadership for the company. So that's a testimony to how we view the role of technology in the company, and also to the fact that, you know, technology is an important part of moving the business forward. And that's kind of also, it permeates from right from the top to the lower levels in the organization. So that helps a great, great deal too.
As I mentioned, you have an incredible breadth of experiences, but could I linger a moment on your stay as CIO for multiple organizations within Wells Fargo, for instance, and what it was about that role that was critical or key to you advancing to where you are now? Are there some certain aspects of what the role can entail, and in your case did entail, that sets you on a course towards the success that you've continued to garner beyond that role?
Even in my role at Wells Fargo, great organization, Wells Fargo is a great company. I had the fortune and the opportunity to work with the business leadership there too in a similar fashion. A great testimony to, you know, how I have learned over the years that I was there that has really helped me to get to where I am today. So, you know, it was a similar kind of setup, the home and consumer finance organization where I first, before the acquisition or the merger with Wachovia, we had a senior management team that led the business overall that I was a part of. And then post merger with Wachovia, the consumer lending team had a similar setup. I had the opportunity and the fortune to work with the business leadership even there like I do here now at the corporate level. It was a great learning ground for me at Wells Fargo that has helped me a great deal in what I do today here at Allstate.
Can we talk a little bit more about the way in which you've managed your career? As you perhaps as one sees it on paper, as I have, and as you look in reverse, maybe one applies more logic than was actually there in terms of you managing your way up to the now august position you have at a company like Allstate. But did you have ambitions early in your career to have such a broad set of responsibilities at a company the size of Allstate's? Did you always have in mind combining technology position with something that was more truly operational and customer facing as well? How did you think to manage your career from its early stages?
Oh, that's an outstanding question. And, you know, I'll tell you, I have throughout my career, I have not focused on that I would get to a certain position as much as I focused on making sure that I learn as much as I can to broaden my skill sets and my horizon and my thought process as I do whatever job that I've done in the past. If I rewind back on my life from the time I finished my schooling as a graduate student in engineering, so clearly I had a engineering and a technology bent of mind. And when I first started working in consulting, I had the opportunity to see different businesses and how they are run, help businesses with very focused challenges and problems and issues that they were having. That gave me the opportunity to learn many different aspects of running a business, also looking at many different organizations and companies, which then got me into thinking about, you know, there are certain things that I need to be learning if I want to be more effective. And that resulted in me going out and doing an MBA so I could learn financial management, marketing, what it takes to do marketing and basic accounting, and what's important when you look at a business. And that then helped me in terms of what I did the rest of my career in terms of, you know, going out and doing sales and marketing to strategic planning to operations and technology. So that's kind of helped me throughout my career so far. And even today, as I sit in the chair that I sit in, I am always focused on, you know, what else can I learn to make the organization better? In many ways, make myself more to speed with how to run a business. And I think that has been what has helped me throughout my career so far, Peter.
Having profiled a number of the truly cream of the technology crop, those who have, in fact, risen beyond the role as you have, it's interesting the combination of things that a lot of you have in common, the technology background, but also business background from an education perspective, the deep technical skills and depth of experience in IT departments, but spending at least a semester abroad, so to speak, if not several years in other functions, and gaining a greater appreciation as to how the corporation fits together and how it earns its money, how it creates value for its customers. Even many of them have either consulting experience and or, as you do, startup experience, and the set of capabilities and insights that brings, and the sort of ability to think about taking risk and the importance actually to take risk as a capability as well. If you were to, for those listeners who may be much earlier in their career and thinking about the various steps that they might take to follow in your footsteps, I think I'm hearing you say that the great importance that you've always placed upon it learning in every position, doing as much as you can with the role that you have been given, while also looking to adjacent areas to get broader sets of experiences. I want to make sure first and foremost that I'm recapping that correctly, but also give you a chance to add to that if you were to provide additional advice to those who might follow in your footsteps.
There are two things I would say. One is learn as much as you can in the current role that you have. Don't worry about the next role. Focus on the current role. The second is, it is not important the size of the team that you lead. What is important is the impact that you have on the organization. Running a company is a very complicated and a complex task. For anyone aspiring to run a corporation or sit in a high senior executive chair where you're managing a lot of people and money, you've got to know the complexity of what it takes to manage it, right? And that comes only bits and pieces at a time. You can't get there in one big step. So learn the most you can in the current role. You don't worry about the number of people that you have working for you. Focus more on the task that you have and the impact that it will have on the organization overall.
Clearly, as especially the conversation around innovation and the very interesting and nuanced set of steps and processes that you and your teams have put together in order to facilitate the development of innovation, you clearly have kind of an R&D mentality to at least a portion of what you do. And as you think out into the future, are there certain trends that particularly excite you? Are there new technologies that you're hoping to gain greater insight into and leverage either personally or at all states beyond?
Well, some of the, you know, what I'm going to say is not going to be anything new for your audience, but I am really fascinated and by the possibility of what getting more and more data and creating information out of the data, and then from information creating knowledge to creating wisdom, would entail for society in general. The other piece that is very fascinating is the role that technology will play in the day-to-day life of every human being. As it is playing a big role, but it gets exponentially better and, you know, with time. So, you know, going from what your mobile devices can do today to what it can do in the future is just fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And how it can be done that, you know, compute power would be ubiquitously available in your palms more so than it is today is a fascinating concept. Just the connectivity of all of technology, people, and everything we use in a day-to-day basis, the possibilities are unlimited. Mm-hmm. I think what's important in this whole scenario is connectivity and creation of knowledge and using of that knowledge to better the lives of people.
You know, I also wanted to, before parting, I wanted to ask you a bit about insights you might have into org structures based upon the various responsibilities and teams you have reporting to you. You know, historically, dating back to the days of Alfred Sloan, if not earlier, there has been this sort of traditional hierarchy that corporations tend to have, and functional silos align with functions like marketing and finance and human resources and business units or product and service areas. Your set of responsibilities obviously cut across multiple parts of the organization. And as you pointed out, you have members of your team that also have horizontal as opposed to simply vertical responsibilities. Does this suggest to you that the traditional corporate hierarchy or org structure is something that will become more and more malleable as more value is derived at the nexus of different functions as opposed to derived within the silos of individual functions?
Oh, I'm aligned to what you just said. I think org structures need to be a lot more flexible than having those silo mentalities. I think organizations need to focus on what I call three or six primary areas. They need to be first and foremost focused on operations and execution. The second would be enabling and developing. And then the third would be innovating and differentiating. And organization structure should lend themselves to making those, if you call them six areas, to become better, efficient, and effective. And organization structure should work in meeting those six functions in a more efficient manner. Mm. And that would come only if they are flexible. The skill sets that you will need in those organizations have to be really also flexible with, you know, the type of job that they want. So, you know, I think we will find out that as people move in their careers, they will have to have broader experiences rather than narrower experiences, especially to be able to lead organizations. And organizations are going to be a lot more flatter than hierarchical.
Exactly. And therefore, ideas will see the light of day that much more quickly. Innovative ideas can make their way to consumers that much more quickly. And I presumably also the depth of the insights will be enriched by virtue of having people with different sets of experience involved in the conversation.
Exactly.
Well, good. Suren Gupta, thank you so much for joining us in the Forum on World Class IT and sharing a bit about your experiences that have led you to become the successful executive that you are. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you, Peter. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you very much.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.